In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on March 10th, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
Why are you rushing the intro?
Because it's fun.
I am half asleep right now.
It tests my vocal cords. It tests me.
You can't do this to me.
Okay, fine. Hey there, folks, and welcome another...
That's enough.
You're forgetting to ask me a question.
Yeah, I forgot to last time, too. Did you go ahead and answer Mr. Vanderlip's question?
Hi.
That, yeah, we believe...
No one believes. We don't believe.
We know. We know for a fact.
Good.
Okay, well... We'll address it at the end. How's it going, Daniel?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm half asleep.
That's the best news I've heard all day.
I'm really tired.
So, on today's show, Mississippi State defeated the South Alabama Jaguars 7-3 on Tuesday.
Yep.
Which is great. Mississippi State baseball plays doesn't get any easier. We play the number 9 Oregon Ducks.
Doomed.
And softball's doing stuff that I don't even know, so you're going to have to talk about that.
They keep winning.
And, I know that.
Like the T-Pain song.
Okay. And, yeah.
Should we just play that?
No, because of copyright.
Who cares? Who's going to sue us?
Somebody can sue us. I don't want to pay money to a someone.
You don't want to pay T-Pain money?
No.
Can we get T-Pain on the show?
No. I don't listen to rap.
And
Mississippi State plays in the SEC tournament, as the Northerners say. We will play Georgia, and we'll talk about that. But we're going to start with baseball, fun stuff. Mississippi State defeated the Jaguars 7-3 on Tuesday.
My score prediction was closer than yours.
What was your score prediction?
It was like 6-5.
My score prediction was closer for a good for about 7 innings.
Yeah.
5-4. Oh, shucks. But anyways, this was a game that it looked very, very grim.
It was awful.
From the start.
It was
3-0. Looked like we just couldn't hit. We couldn't hit the side of a barn. And then the turning point of the game happened in the bottom of the 4th inning. It seemed like we were, as you say, doomed.
Doomed with all the O's.
With 2 outs. After a Cody Brown ground out and a Jack Kruger fly out. Jack Kruger not with a fantastic game, 0-3 with only
a mortal. This is proof that he is mortal.
His average dipped down to under 500.
Oh,
unbelievable.
No.
But after those 2 outs, Nate Lowe with a clutch single, and then Gavin Collins just proceeds to hit a home run. And then from that point on, Mississippi State could not only start to hit the ball, but literally in every sense of the word, our pitching was unhittable. They legitimately, from the 5th inning on, did not get a single hit against us. It was literally unhittable.
And we used, the entire bullpen, it seems like.
Yeah. I mentioned Gavin Collins earlier. He had a stellar game. Just happened to have,
phenomenal.
No big deal. Just a couple of home runs for our BI for Gavin Collins.
Yeah, there were, how many home runs total in this game?
Three, because South Alabama got one.
Okay.
So 3 home runs. Home runs, yeah. And that's probably more than Mississippi State got all of last year.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is it? Brent Rooker almost had a home run too, but freaking South Alabama, their left fielder's phenomenal.
They were able to catch the ball.
On the fence.
You know where Brent Rooker's from?
Not off the top of my head. Is he from Memphis?
Correct.
Okay. Well, okay. That's cool.
It is cool. So, some things on my thoughts.
Some things on your thoughts?
Yep, that's exactly what I just said.
What? Okay,
that's
whatever.
That's exactly what I just said, and I'm sticking to it. I'm committed to things.
Along with, like, hashtag very quality?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Whenever I say something that's wrong, we're just going to run along with it as a hashtag or some catchphrase of some sort.
You never tweeted at Brian Haydad, by the way.
Aw. So,
You're a jerk.
Although the pitching as a whole was pretty good, you know, only giving up three hits, three runs. One of those hits was a home run, and that got, what, two runs?
Yeah.
So two of their runs and one of their hits come from a home run. This constantly changing of pitchers frustrates me.
Yeah. You're not alone in that.
Cale Bro, with the exception of walking two batters and hitting a batter, gave up no hits, no runs, struck out two after two innings. Just all he did, just gave up two walks and hit a batter. That's all he did. And he just gets replaced, and his replacement, Noah Hughes, proceeds to give up three runs from two hits.
Yeah.
Why do that? Cale Bro is having if you would rank it from 1 to 10, maybe a 7 or an 8 outing. And we just get up and replace him. I don't understand.
Just for context, you know, the first two batters he faced were the first two strikeouts. Then he started struggling a little bit, showing, you know, mortality, showing that he's human. You know, then he walked a couple walked one, then hit a batter. So it, you know, he had a very strong start, but it started to mellow out, it seemed.
Well, he probably would have done better than Noah Hughes.
Yeah, hard to tell, because you can't predict that sort of thing. But, it's one reason, the only reason I can think that Cohen threw everybody out there is
experience.
One, experience against a decent team. Well, I guess pretty good, since, you know, we agreed that they were pretty good on the last show. But two, don't wear anybody out going into a very tough matchup against Oregon.
Okay.
That's the real only logic I see to this. And the only reason I can really say that is because Van Studeman, in the softball game, threw all six pitchers before heading into tough weekend out west.
Well, what was the score of that game after the first inning?
I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, fair point. Yeah. Softball was
Keep up with softball.
Occasionally.
I know what I'm talking about in terms of softball.
But you get my point, right?
Yeah.
Because you're about to face, you know, you pointed out on Twitter when I called you hashtag negative Nancy, that they have a very good pitching staff.
And I'm going to read, and I mentioned before the show, I'm about to read you some stats about Oregon baseball and when our preview comes about. And you know how you said that I think that you predicted that I would think we're going to get swept?
You don't think we're going to get swept?
I do.
Yeah, see?
Well, Ethan,
I knew it.
Well, Ethan, when I tweeted that I don't have any of those thoughts in my mind, I didn't look up Oregon baseball stats.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'll get to that.
Fair enough.
But all in all, it was a good win. I mean, it was scary at times. And by times, I mean the first three innings. But South Alabama, we mentioned a very quality team. Hashtag very quality team.
Just get that tattooed on your forehead.
No, I'm not going to get a tattoo. No, I'm not going to get a tattoo.
Not on your forehead?
No. That's probably the fourth worst place to put it.
The fourth?
Yes, there are worse places to put a tattoo.
Well, I can... Yes, we're not getting into that.
Exactly. That's what I'm telling you.
J-Dog can discuss that on his podcast.
I would love to listen to J-Dog's podcast. How many tattoos do you think J-Dog has? And where are they?
Where are they?
Where would you think J-Dog? Because J-Dog seems like someone who has, like, one tattoo and some
I
really
bet he has
weird...
one on, like, his right shoulder. On the back of his right shoulder.
That says, like, go to hell on this or something.
Yeah. Or do you think he's the stomach tattoo guy?
Or Frieza saves.
Do you think he's the stomach tattoo guy?
No, because I don't think J-Dog's that young.
No, we know he's not.
That'd be funny, though.
It would be funny.
But, yeah, a good win over a hashtag very quality team.
Yeah.
And now, this weekend, the number 9 in the country, Oregon Ducks. Currently on the
quack.
Season...
Quack.
Quack, 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 quack. Currently on the season 8-2. Only losses coming to Illinois State and UC Santa Barbara, but they won both of those series. So, I decided to look into the Oregon pitching staff after I saw a tweet. Well, actually, before I mention that, I'm going to talk about their head coach, okay? Their head coach is a man by the name of George Horton.
The Oregon Ducks baseball was founded in 1877.
And then took a break and then restarted in 2007.
Okay.
It's really weird. Yeah. Their head coach is...
I just looked him up because you wouldn't let me before the show.
Their head coach is George Horton. He was the former head coach at Cal State Fullerton, a place where he went to 5 College World Series in 11 years and just happened to win the 2004 National Championship.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to mention that. And he's approaching 1,000 wins on the year. So let's talk about their pitching staff, shall we? I saw a tweet by Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball, one of the two probably premier sources for college baseball, alongside his partner in crime, Kendall Rogers. Are we going to host?
Hashtag.
So I decided, he says that Oregon has arguably the best starting rotation in the country. So yeah. I said, let's look it up. They're and on their notes against for the Mississippi State and the Alabama game, they're actually going to be playing Alabama on Thursday, today as you listen.
Hasn't Alabama been better than normal?
They're 10-2 on the year.
Yeah, that'll be a good test for Oregon and Alabama.
Well, yeah. Anyways, they've already announced who their pitchers are going to be this weekend. On Friday will be their ace, Mr. Cole Irvin. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of his stats, shall we? He's 2-0 on the year. He has a .82 ERA.
Whew.
He has 27 strikeouts in 3 games. He averages 7 innings per game, and is sixth. Here we go, 6th nationally in strikeouts. Let's talk about their Saturday starter.
We're so screwed.
Their Saturday starter is made by the name of Matt Crook. Matt Crook.
Yeah.
He's 0-0 on the year, with
okay.
With a 1.59 ERA, has 26 strikeouts in 3 games. He averages 6 innings per game, and is 11th nationally in both hits allowed per 9 innings, which means he's giving up 3 hits per 9 innings, and also 11th nationally in strikeouts.
Oh, this is
And finally. Well, no, not even finally, because I've got another pitcher after this. But their Sunday starter, listen to this ERA when I mention it, David Peterson, 2-0 on the year, .45 ERA, 25 strikeouts in 3 games, averages 6 innings per game, and is 17th nationally in strikeouts. So their 3 starters are in the top 17 nationally in strikeouts.
Can I just make a sidebar real quick?
Sure.
You know, with the kind, we have arguably more talent than anyone in the nation. These are the numbers our pitchers should be having.
Okay.
To start the season. Do you disagree?
No.
That's kind of mind-blowing that Oregon is doing what they are.
Another note about David Peterson. This past week, he was named the Collegiate Baseball Player of the Week, National Player of the Week, after a performance of a win over UC Santa Barbara. Get this. In which he allowed 1 run, 1 walk, and struck out 13 pitchers, struck out 13 in 7 innings.
That's... Yeah, we've seen some pretty good performances from our guys.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah. And there's another one. Their closer.
Is this the funny name one?
No, that's a batter. Their closer. It's Steven, although this is a weird name too, Negosek. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly.
You probably butchered that.
Yeah, Steven Negosek, he's their closer. 1-0 on the year, has a 0.00 ERA. He has 13 strikeouts in 8 1/3 innings and is 7th nationally in saves with 4, and that's in 6 appearances. We're not going to hit against them. We're just not.
Yeah.
The thing about Oregon, they even with that, they're not a great hitting team. They're still good. They average 5.5 runs per game. Of course, 13 runs against UC Santa Barbara and 10 against San Diego State helped that. Not a fantastic, stellar, absolutely incredible hitting team, but still a good hitting team. With this kind of pitching, and I'll just go ahead and say the Mississippi State pitching so far has been pretty inconsistent.
Yes.
Do you have any faith in this weekend? Do you have... Ethan.
I'd feel more comfortable if the softball team was playing them. Let's put it that way.
They are averaging 5.5 runs per game and gives up 2.4 runs per game.
They're a team with identity.
They win solely off of pitching. Some of their opponents, I'm just going to read off the number of runs they've given up this year. 2, 5, 3, 5, 2, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Yeah. You know, I would personally rather have a team like Oregon where you're consistently, winning these pitcher's duels. I would much rather have that than this inconsistency of, oh, you don't know if Mississippi State's going to show up with 30 hits or if they're going to show up with 3. You don't know if we're going to get 5 home runs. You don't know if we're going to get 0. You just don't know what you're getting out of Mississippi State on either side, either pitching or batting.
Yeah.
And I would... Oregon's a team with an identity.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's, with the coaching change, you had different guys coming in. I don't know why Mississippi State hasn't developed that sort of... this is who we are as a program so far this season. I don't know if they ever will. But it's frustrating when you're going to have to play an elite team that has an absolute identity and is coming on a pretty good streak right now. So, but you can interpret what you want from those statements and the text messages I just sent you.
And by the way, you sent me texts?
Yeah, I gotta check that real quick.
Thank you.
I saw that when I was navigating their website.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The duck
with sunglasses, for those that are listening.
Yeah. So, predictions?
Do we know what our weekend rotation is?
According to the Oregon notes, which I don't know if that's any indication... but it is...
Oregon knows more than us.
It's Hudson, Sexton, Brown.
Yeah, just with how inconsistent Mississippi State has been, I'm not going to predict anyone's.
The only game, in my opinion, that we have a legitimate chance at winning is Friday.
Yeah.
Simply because Dakota Hudson's pitching. And Dakota Hudson can give us a chance.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're no.
Yeah.
Simply because Austin Sexton's probably been the most inconsistent pitcher on the team. And on Sunday, that's their best pitcher. I mean, Cole Irvin's their ace, but David Peterson currently has as many appearances as Cole Irvin and has an ERA of 0.45.
Yeah.
Once again, 13 strikeouts in 7 innings against UC Santa Barbara. I don't know what average that is, but I'll do that really quickly. I'm not good at math. That's like 1.9?
Something like that, yeah. And what really concerns me about this
1.857 strikeouts per inning.
You know, Oregon's pitching didn't start off the season great. You know, in their first four games, two of them, they gave up five runs. But since then, they haven't given up more than two.
Yeah.
They're on a very good streak right now of managing who is batting. They're taking care of business. And then, you know, they aren't scoring a lot of runs. There was a 1-0 loss to UC Santa Barbara. But they do have burst, like, the 13-1 win over UC Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, just because of how inconsistent we have been, I'm not comfortable predicting any wins.
Yeah, we're going to get swept. I mean, there's – I personally don't have see us even having a chance at getting a win. This is the
This would have to be where Mississippi State plays their best on both sides of the ball, something we haven't seen yet. And, you know, just because we haven't seen it yet, do you feel comfortable predicting?
No.
Yeah.
So. The thing is, it's so unfortunate that this is probably the biggest non-conference weekend we've had in decades.
Yeah.
This is huge for this year and really long term, because this, in terms of this year is a make or break year in terms of the program, because people have been saying that, you know, this is could be John Cohen's last year. This is where John Cohen has to produce, where he's done. This is a weekend where
make or break the season, yeah, pretty much.
And when we have legitimately no confidence coming into a weekend like this against a team, like, I mean, this Mississippi State's still ranked, and we're playing another ranked team, and we have absolutely no confidence going into the weekend, that spells bad things.
I mean, on the surface, you look at the matchup, just, you know, from far away, you see the names. Oh, you think Mississippi State might have a chance to take one or two. And that's just not the case when you really dive into the stats, when you really see the results from the games. And that's, you know, not a good place for the program to be, like you're saying. And, yeah, it's frustrating to watch. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Cohen pulls something out of the hat by scaring off the Oregon Ducks. You know, if just by sheer yelling at them, maybe we can win that way.
Okay.
With the truffle shuffle gif that you created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we both have a sweep.
So, not a good sweep.
Ethan, softball time, your turn.
Yeah, softball, they went 9-3 yesterday, if I can pull it up real quick. 9-3 against Penn State, who is 9-11 on the year. They are not a good team. They are fairly awful. But Mississippi State is now 17-3 before they are heading out west to Long Beach, California, for the Louisville Slugger Invitational. They're going to face UCLA, who is 13-8 on the season. Cal State Fullerton, who is also 13-8. Long Beach State, who is 11-8. And then UC Santa Barbara, who is 12-8. So all of these teams are significantly, you know, not necessarily inferior, but they are inferior to Mississippi State. You know, the best team there, just looking at the numbers real quick, probably be UC Santa Barbara, if I had to guess right now. They're hitting .346 on the season. They've hit 116 runs in their 20 games. And they have hit 12 home runs. And they're 8-5 at neutral sites. They've played a lot of games at neutral sites. They have the experience there. So we will see what happens this weekend. They, where's the schedule again? I lost it. They start off Friday against UC Santa Barbara. Then they, you know, they'll play a doubleheader, which the second game will be UCLA. The third and fourth game is a doubleheader, similar to how the Bulldog Slamboree was set up, where they'll play Cal State Fullerton and then Long Beach State. And then on Sunday, they'll end with Cal State Fullerton. I don't see a reason why Mississippi State can't win all of these games, go 5-0. Alexis Silkwood is back. She's not pitching to the extent that you'd really wanted to, but she's starting to get warmed up, preparing for the Auburn series, which, you know, that series is more important than this non-conference slate of games, but it's good to see Alexis back, getting warmed up again. She's performing well in the limited action she's gotten against Penn State and Western Kentucky. So, yeah, 4-1 is probably the most likely situation here. They might slip up again like they did against Northwestern State this past weekend, probably against UC Santa Barbara to start. If I had to guess, it might be against UC Santa Barbara. We'll see what happens. 4-1 is going to be my prediction. What's your prediction, Daniel?
I wasn't paying attention.
I know you're not.
Because I was ordering food.
Oh. Did you order me anything?
No.
Oh, well. Oh.
It would take 2 hours to get there.
To answer your question earlier about the, what was the score after the first inning in the softball game yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
It was 1-0.
What's the score after the second inning?
1-0.
Third inning?
3-0.
Oh.
The explosion that we see on the, you know, score happened in the fourth inning where they scored 4 runs. And that's when it got out of hand for Penn State. So, with the final score being 9-3. So, yay.
No, that's exciting.
Yeah. Softball team's still good. They're still winning. They should play Oregon instead of the baseball team. So,
we play basketball, SEC tournament against the Georgia Bulldogs.
The University of Georgia?
Yes, that's correct.
According to their website.
Mm-hmm. It says on the Google search, the University of the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
So the first time Mississippi State and Georgia met, it was arguably Mississippi State's worst game, at least offensively. A 9-point loss for Mississippi State that seemed a lot worse.
Yeah.
Looking at Georgia's schedule, they're getting sort of unnoticed, at least in their last three games. And you know how there are a lot of, as I say, just flat out weird teams in the conference?
Yeah.
Georgia's one of them.
Yes.
This is indeed a team that after a 3-point loss to Auburn has reeled off 3 consecutive wins over Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Alabama.
Yep.
That's what's leading them into the SEC tournament.
In other, you know, examples of how weird they are, they lost 45-79 to A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in the season.
They beat High Point.
They beat Clemson 71-48.
They beat High Point 49-46.
I don't even know.
Hashtag they lost SEC basketball. Chattanooga. Ebola. Yeah, that is true. They did lose to Chattanooga in their first game of the year.
So, they're a weird team.
They beat Oakland by 4.
Which Oakland's a good team this year. They're not making the tourney, but they are a pretty good team. They had Max Hooper, who only shot 3s.
Lost to Kansas State. Kansas State's not that good.
No. But they've hit their stride lately, and it's a little concerning. Yeah. After, you know, 3 straight losses, they go into blowout Ole Miss, beating South Carolina, and then handling Alabama. So, it's a little concerning.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of Mississippi State fans are really confident about the ability for us to win this game.
That's not a good idea.
You've seen that on Twitter, though, haven't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
It's been everywhere.
Uh-huh.
This isn't Ethan is positive thing. No, this is a lot of people, and I don't necessarily feel confident that we're going to come away with a win. I just think we have a really good chance to.
By the way, about Georgia's win over South Carolina, it just happened to be at South Carolina in front of 15,397 people.
Wasn't that their senior day?
I'd guess
South Carolina's senior day?
I'd guess so.
Because of how late in the season, yeah. Yeah. This is not a good time to play Georgia.
No. And obviously the people on Twitter would say, well, it's not a good time to play Mississippi State. Well, which one are you going to trust? Really?
Georgia has more experience. Well, better, talented, more experience. you know, we have five seniors, but we have seen them not play great. Should we just dive into here, let's do a stat line prediction since we have done that in a while.
I hate those.
Gavin Ware.
I don't know.
And Malik Newman, just because Malik Newman is...
I'm still not confident, Malik Newman.
I know you're not.
I'll say Gavin Ware gets 13 points, 8 rebounds, or 7 rebounds. Malik Newman gets 9 points, 2 rebounds.
Any assists?
4.
4. Okay. Score prediction, let's go.
Let's go. Go, team.
yeah.
Georgia 68, Mississippi State 61.
You had an opportunity there for a very nice score.
69-62, Georgia. Nice.
Okay. You know, I predicted that we'd win on the bracket challenge thing.
You want to change that?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with it. I think State has a good chance. You know, it's not a great chance. If you were to put it in percentages, I think Mississippi State has like a 51% chance to win. Georgia has a 49%. It might be like 50.5, Georgia 49.5. It's really a coin flip for me. So I'll say like a 1-point win for State, 72-71. I don't think it'll be low scoring.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
And I'll be there.
Buzzer beater winner.
I'll be there. I'll see Charlie.
Oh, you will see Charlie, won't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I saw Charlie last year in the exact same place.
You're following Charlie around?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's all for basketball. That's all for everything.
This was a quick show.
Well, we have questions.
Oh, we do have questions.
Mr. Vanderlip coming in clutch with the questions. Our first set of questions, because he sent in two sets of questions. From the Large Dog Trademark, at KT Vanderlip on Twitter, number one. TeamRankings.com gives the men's basketball team a 1.1% chance of making the NCAA tournament. Does that seem high? Yes. You know
before,
why?
Before Ethan, I answer, no, who Ethan, is TeamRankings.com?
I don't know. And Ethan, may I tell you something? Do you know sure. who, if we make it to the semifinal, do you know who we would probably have to play? Kentucky.
Yeah.
No, we're not making it to the NCAA tournament. Number two. And I'm not letting you answer.
I'm going to answer.
I am absolutely okay.
Well, no.
Okay. No. Well, you should have. Number two is being one of only four schools that the SEC Network will be showing their Pro Day live because of where the Pro Day. What?
Because of where the program is.
Yeah.
Or the DAC effect.
The latter.
I don't think it's necessarily. These are mutually exclusive.
I will guarantee you this. I'll try to tune in as much of the Pro Day as possible. 75 to 80% of it will be just DAC.
I think the DAC effect has brought the program to where it is, which thus brings the live Pro Day and SEC Network to Mississippi State. I don't think these are things that are, you know, mutually exclusive. DAC is not single-handedly built the program to where it is now? Would you disagree?
No. Well, yes, I would disagree.
You would disagree?
You think that Dak Prescott's the only reason why this program is what it is?
No. No. But
well,
I
said single-handedly.
I said not single-handedly, but single-handedly. He is, to those that haven't paid attention to the program, he is the face of the build. To those that have been paying attention, I see what you're saying. So, you know, I don't think these are mutually exclusive things. I think that combined, you know, the DAC effect and the place of the program is what brings SEC Network. So it's like when Manziel went pro, and his pro day was televised and blah, 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 blah. That's the culmination of where the program was and Manziel going pro.
Okay.
So.
Except I think that Texas A&M is more nationally relevant than Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I would agree.
No, I'm glad you do.
Because they have more money.
How is it, well, everyone in Texas has more money?
Oil money, yeah.
How is that Gavin Ware Did not make the all-SEC basketball team. I don't know. I really disagree with it.
I didn't understand the move, because I feel like Gavin should have gotten recognition.
Yeah.
You're on our all-SEC basketball teams, Gavin Ware, if you're listening.
Number one on the team, number one in our hearts.
He's number 20 on the team.
Just roll with it. Number four.
No.
Shut up. Since we are a women's sports school, should we be referred to the teams? Mr. Vanderlip, you need to fix your spelling. I'm sorry.
From the guy that says hashtag very quality.
It's the best hashtag on Twitter.
No, you have no room to criticize people if you're going to say stuff like very quality.
Well, yeah, you're the one who cannot. You can't speak. I can't speak it. Okay.
You're just as bad as I am at speaking, so why are you coming at me with that?
His question is, should we be referred to as the Lady Bulldogs or the Bulldogs? Whatever he said. You can translate.
Should we change them, all of the teams to being named the Lady Bulldogs?
Well, I don't think Dak Prescott's a woman.
Yeah.
Number five.
We're going to stick with the Bulldogs, but give preferential treatment to the teams that are good.
Number five. Something happened on show. We've already answered this, but something happened on show number 52 that has never happened before on a show with both of you. Do you know what that is?
The only thing that I can think of is that it is me not saying, how's it going? But he says with both of you, so I'm not.
Well, maybe if it's just me, you wouldn't have been there. You see? And if it's just you, you wouldn't have anybody to ask, how's it going?
Oh, yeah, because you did Urban Meyer.
Number six.
I Nick Saban'd you. I gave you a bellyache.
And then I ended up beating you in the Sugar Bowl.
He's like a 3-2 record against Urban Meyer.
I thought it was like 2-2. But anyway.
Oh, no, because he beat him.
2009 SEC Championship.
Yeah.
He's 1-2.
2010. No, he beat him in 2010.
2000?
The football season. The regular season.
Okay.
So it might be 2-2.
So it's 2-2. Because Florida won the 2008 SEC Championship. Number six.
Yeah.
On Lewis's bio, he has himself listed as the number one fan of the show. When was the vote? I don't know.
We never held this vote.
We never held a vote. This is news to us.
And yeah. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily news to us. We've seen it in his bio.
Yeah.
We did not designate that. That is an unofficial designation there.
After beating the Cavs on the road, the Grizzlies are beating the Celtics at halftime by 3 on the road. The Celtics have won 14 straight home games.
So I don't really know.
We
are in J-Dog's bio as well. But we are, listener.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually still listens or not.
Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of From the Backup. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, Mr. Vanderlip's our number one fan because he consistently sends us questions.
Come on, Lewis, take your game up.
Or J-Dog. J-Dog, send in all the weird questions you have because...
No, what? What has gotten into you? Are you drunk? How much did you drink?
No.
How much have you drunk?
I haven't had anything. I haven't had anything in the past 2 days because I've had tests and I have 2 tests coming up, so... I am not drunge. Hashtag drunge.
Okay. Is that your final... Yeah. That's your final thoughts?
No, I don't. I don't really have any final thoughts. It was just a continuation of the discussion for number six.
Okay. Hashtag
very... Do you have any final thoughts?
Hashtag very quality. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.